If you've seen Forrest Gump, the movie, you know the storyline. And the storyline is this, is that no matter what Forrest faced, whether it was mental and physical disabilities or hurricanes, he always was able to come through it and come to a place in his life where he was able to say, it's good to be alive. Everything that Forrest went through, he was able to go through it and come out of it on top. And that's the way a believer should be. That's the way you and I should be. No matter what we face and what we go through in life, we should always come out with the attitude, it's good to be alive. So, with that said, let me explain to you just a little bit about our stage and what's going on up here so we'll understand it just a little bit. What we have for you is, of course, it's good to be alive. That's pretty obvious on the sides. But also, I have you two boxes of chocolates up here. It's like Forrest says, you know, you never know what you're going to get. So we have two boxes of chocolates, and there are chocolates in there. But on the first box, this one over here, we not only have chocolates, we have some other things as well. Will you show me that picture, please? We have favor of God. We're trying to show you this by a royal straight flush. Now, if you know anything about cards, when you play cards and you have a royal straight flush, you're just not going to get beaten, right? That is the best you can have. Nothing beats. When you have the favor of God, nothing can beat you. Your life will never be beaten because you're walking with the favor of God. Also, you're going to have family. You're going to have family. I can't imagine doing life without family. I can't imagine going through life without my family. It's just, it's inconceivable to me. And God gave us family to make life good. Now, some of you don't think that. Some of you are kind of the opposite, but family is meant to make life good. Another thing, friends. Friends. I can't imagine doing life without friends. I can't imagine doing life without you. I can't imagine doing life without my friends. It's good to be alive because of friends. It's good to be alive because of family. It's good to be alive because I have the favor of God. That's going to be the first three messages. Then the second three messages are similar. But it's good to be alive with conflict. How many has ever had conflict? Can you imagine life without a conflict? Say, it's good to be alive. Conflict isn't meant to do us bad. Conflict is meant to do us good. You see, we should have conflict and come through that conflict better people. Making life even better than it was before the conflict. So we're going to talk about it's good to be alive and have conflict. And then, of course, it's good to be alive and have love, isn't it? That'll be our Valentine's Day message. This will run through Valentine's. This is one of the reasons we did the chocolate boxes with the Valentine boxes. But anyway, it's good to be alive and have love. Can't imagine life without love. Can't imagine it. Love should make life good. It's good to be alive and have love. Also, faith. Our last message will be, it's good to be alive and have faith. Can't imagine going through life without faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Father God. Can't imagine going through life without faith in the Holy Spirit. Can't imagine going through life without faith in you. It's good to be alive. And so those are the messages that we're going to be sharing with you over the next 6 weeks. That's what you'll be hearing. It's good to be alive. Hallelujah. Well, today what I want to talk to you though about is it's good to be alive and have favor. Have the favor of God. Now, I want you to know this. I want you to understand more about the favor of God today than ever before. It's good to be alive and have God's favor on our life. So, what is the favor of God? Well, it's like a royal straight flush. It cannot be beaten. When you're walking in life and you're going through life with a royal straight flush, nothing can beat you. And that's kind of what we're wanting to project to you. It's good to be alive and have the favor of God on our lives. But what is the favor of God? Well, let's see what the Bible says about it. Let's find out what the Bible says specifically about the favor of God. So I've got you some scriptures. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, it says this, and Jesus grew, and that's an important word, he grew in wisdom and in favor with God and men. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He grew in his ability to think, his ability to have wisdom. He just didn't come brilliant. He grew to be brilliant. He didn't come full grown. He was birthed as a baby and he grew to be a full grown man. He grew in wisdom, but he also grew in favor with not only God, but also with what? Man. You see, favor, first of all, we've got to see, is something that we grow in. Favor is something that we get, but we'll take care of it and we'll do it like a fruit tree. We'll prune it and we'll water it and we'll fertilize it, and it causes us to grow in favor with God and man. But still, what is the favor of God? What is it that we grow in? Well, let me see if I can make you understand it this way. This really helped me as I began to see this. Say I needed something done. Say I needed a great favor done. It would take maybe time I didn't have to give to whatever that it was that I needed done. Or maybe it required expertise that I didn't have. I would want to go to someone and ask them to do me a favor. Now, in the process of asking someone to do me a favor, what kind of a person would I go to? Would it be a stranger? Would it be someone that I had a casual acquaintance with? Would it most likely be someone that I had developed a relationship with? Would it be most likely someone that I knew well and that knew me well? Would it be like someone that I wouldn't mind imposing upon to draw from them their time and their talents and their expertise? See, a lot of people miss out on the favor of God because they don't have a real relationship with God. At best, it's casual. At best, it's a distant relationship. If you really want the favors of God in your life, then you must develop a relationship with God in your life. It takes time. It takes growing into it. It takes time where we prune it and we fertilize it and we water it so that we're able to have the favor of God. My point is that the favor of God is God doing favors for you. And God wants to do favors for you. God loves His people. God loves His children. And He desires with all of His heart to do favors for us. Let me read you this scripture. It's in Proverbs 8:35. I hope that you're there if you have your Bibles. But here's what it says. For whoever finds me, very important word, finds me, finds life, and receives favor from the Lord. Now notice how important that is. To really find life, I need to find the Lord. To really find the favor, God doing favors for me, I need to find Him. And then verse 36 says, but whoever fails to find me harms himself. You just don't have as good a life. Things just don't go as well for you. Sometimes things beat you. Have you ever seen people, I don't care, like a cat, you know, you throw a cat up in the air and they always come down on all 4 feet. You know, it's like that with some people. They have the favor of God on their life and they always get a good parking place. They always get good stuff. No matter what they go through, they are just always coming out on top. It's because they have the favor of God. And they don't harm themselves because they're finding Him. And then the rest of the verse says, but whoever fails to find me harms himself, and all who hate me love death. Ooh, that's not good. What we want to talk about, though, and emphasize is the favor of God. Noah found favor. Noah found the favor of God, and when the floods came on Noah, the floods didn't kill him or destroy him, the floods lifted him. Did they not? He and his family were saved and experienced salvation because of the favor of God. What is it that you're going through? What floods of life are coming against you? Well, the way that you will get above the flood and let the flood take you to a new place in life is by finding God. Spending time with Him, developing a relationship with Him, finding His favor. Go on through whomever that you want to look at in the Scriptures. Look at Abraham. Abraham found favor. And all the goofy things that Abraham did, he always came out on top. He always came out with the favor of God. David was one of the most dysfunctional people that you'll read about in the Bible. But he had the favor of God on his life, and he always came out on top. Ruth, this Gentile woman, She came out with the favor of God on her life. We're going to talk about all these people in just a few minutes. But all of these people found favor. All of them went and they found favor with God. Favor just doesn't happen in our lives. We find it. It just doesn't poof, there it is. We grow it. We nurture it. We grow in it. Favor is something that we develop as we develop a relationship with our Father and with His Son Jesus Christ, with our brother, and with the Holy Spirit. As we do this, then we grow in favor. Esther found favor of God. Esther, she became the queen because she found favor. She had the favor of God upon her life. All of these people found favor, but here's the most interesting one of all of them, is Jesus found favor. He just didn't come with favor. He found favor. He found favor with God. He found favor with people. He found favor with God and men. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. But he also grew in favor. And what God wants you to understand today is He wants you to grow in favor. He wants you to grow into a place in your life where God can just do favors for you all the time. You walk expecting God to do you favors. You walk expecting, no matter what you find yourself facing, no matter what flood comes your way, no matter what crazy thing you have done to cause the flood, no matter what's going on in your life, you walk expecting God to do you a favor. That's what the favor of God is really all about. God wants to do His people favors. Now, also as I looked at this and I thought about, now if I were going to ask someone to do me a favor, first of all, I would need a relationship with this person, but also, most likely, if it were going to be a favor that was of great magnitude, was going to take a lot of time or expertise, it would probably be someone else that I had developed a relationship with and had done them favors. Right? If I do you a favor, then most likely you won't have a hard time doing me a favor. And so the favor of God works that way too. A lot of people miss out on the favor of God walking around through life with a royal straight flush. A lot of people miss out on life because they never do favors for God. We do favors for God all the time. I minister to His people. I work in His vineyard, the church. I do the things that He's asked me to do. I preach, I teach, I study. I do the things that do Him favors. And so therefore, when I need a favor, I don't mind asking Him to do me one. And a lot of people miss out on the favors of God simply because they're not doing anything for Him. They always expect Him to do for them. They never understand the principle. See, favor comes in relationship package. Let me give you an example. I'm not computer illiterate. By any means, I know a lot about computers. We do a lot around here with computers. So I'm not computer illiterate. But at the same time, occasionally I'll run into something that I can't figure out. On the other hand, Kevin Robinson makes his living working on computers. That's what he does for a living. And so when I run into a problem that I can't figure out, or Lance can't figure out, or someone around me can't, I'll call Kevin. I've got him on speed dial on my cell phone. Pumping right up there. I don't care if he's at work. I don't care where he is. I'm going to call Kevin. Yeah. I'll call him Christmas morning. We were down at my daughter's Bonnie's house, and we were putting her in a little network in their house. Lance and I were trying to help him set up a network, and we ran into a problem. Couldn't find it. Christmas Day. I'm at my phone. I'll call Kevin. Pumped him right up. Now, why? What gives me the right? Why do I have that liberty with Kevin? What gives me the right to call him anytime I want to, any place that he's at, even on Christmas Day? What gives me that right? Well, I have done favors for Kevin, you see. And our relationship has been developed over years. We have a good relationship. And so as I want a favor, it's because I've given one and I don't mind calling him at all. And so as we have a relationship with God and we develop that relationship with God and we're doing God favors, then I don't mind on calling on the Lord to help me. A lot of people miss out on their favor with God and on experiencing the best that God has for them simply because they're not doing anything for God. The favor of God comes out of a relationship. Just like anything else, just like a relationship that you have with anyone else, it's in the package of relationship. It's in the relationship package. So if I want to live a life that expects God's favors, I must find Him and I must develop a relationship with Him. If I want a life that experiences and walks in the favors of God, I have to find Him and develop that relationship with Him if I want that in my package. One of the more interesting truths that I found about the favor of God is that it is impossible to separate the favor of God and the favor of men or man. The Bible talks more about this than any other aspect of the favors of God. Proverbs 3:4 says this, "Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." In other words, you'll get favors from God and favors from man. And what it's talking about here is having wisdom. And then in 1 Samuel 2:26 it says, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men." See the combination? When God likes you, people like you. And what God will do is to work His favors on our lives and through us and get them to us, He'll use people. And then in Luke 2:52, even Jesus. "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Believe it or not, but Jesus needed people to do Him favors. He did. Tell me, who are the only people that didn't like Jesus? Religious people, right? And I don't care if religious people like me or not. But you know what? I want the sinners to like me. I want people to like me that I can help bring into the kingdom of God and I can minister into their life. And this is the attitude that Jesus took. He grew in favor with God and with people. And as I studied the scriptures, I found that to be so true. Even Jesus needed the favor of God and men. Now, have you ever heard people say something like this? Well, I am a Christian and I have the favor of God, therefore I don't need people. Ever heard something like that? Well, that's not true at all. Actually, that person probably doesn't have the favor of God because when God likes you, people like you. Now, what am I trying to say here? You can't be a grumpy, ugly person and expect to have favors put on your life. You can't go around life with a sour attitude, an angry attitude, hollering and throwing and yelling and screaming and expect God to do favors for you through people. It's just not going to happen. That's why even the Sermon on the Mount began with attitudes or be attitudes. Here's how you're to be. And as you do these things in your life, then you develop favor with God and with men. And as I looked at those who had the favor of God in the Scriptures, it was very interesting to me to see even how heathen would bless the righteous. Even the heathen. Like Abraham, for example. Abraham did some of the craziest things in the Scriptures, but yet he's the father of the faithful. For example, Abraham twice allowed his wife to be taken into harems. Once it was the harem of Pharaoh, and once it was another harem of a king, Abimelech. And both times, God, though Abraham did this, but though Abraham did it, God still showed him favors. And what was so interesting is neither Abimelech or the Pharaoh touched Sarah. But what was so interesting is that they were delivered from that situation, God made Abraham wealthy. It was fascinating to me that rather than rebuking Abraham, the king and Pharaoh, and even knocking him out, you know, and killing him, what they did instead was show favor on him and make him rich. See, you're going to go through life and you're going to do some crazy things. You're going to go through life and things are just going to work out crazy. But when you have the favor of God on your life, it's all going to come out well. David was the same way. Like I said earlier, David was one of the most dysfunctional people that you'll ever find in the Scriptures. All kinds of crazy things going on in his life. But David was one of the most liked people in all the Bible. People were always doing favors for David. Remember the time that they were in this battle and he says, "Oh, that I had a drink from the well in Bethlehem." And those guys went and got him a drink. You remember that? Why? Because when you have the favor of God on your life, when you really are walking with that royal straight flush in your life, people just do favors for you. It's interesting to me. I got a couple of things to share with you. A couple of years ago, I had a really bad experience in Florida on vacation. We were out fishing, and the waters got rough, and we were coming back in rough water. And unbeknown to me, my bilge pump wasn't working. Now, the way my boat is made, there is a floor, and then under the floor, there's this foam, but there's this open area under there for air to get into as well. And what happens when the bilge pump doesn't work, the bottom of the boat fills up with water, but you don't even know it's down there. And so before I really realized that my boat was about half full of water, it was too late. And we were going like this over these waves, and we went up one, and as we went up it, the motor went down because of all the water sloshing to the back end of the boat, and the motor went down under the water, sucked up water into the piston area, and blew out the side of my motor. And here we are, 3 miles out in the ocean, rough water, dead in the water. Well, I had to have it towed in. I had to call the Coast Guard. We were all okay, but they towed us in, and my boat won't sink. I found out my boat won't sink. But anyway, they towed us in, and the place that they pulled me to, the man that was there gave me favor. It was interesting to me. His name was Johnny. I called him Mr. Johnny. Johnny owned the business, big business. Johnny owned the business, and for some unknown reason, except I know the reason, he took favor on me. He took me into his office, and for days, it was just that day, he spent all day on the telephone calling people, calling this person and that person, and calling back favors that he had done for people, all these boat dealers and all of these people, finding me a great deal on a brand new motor, getting that motor put on and installed for me, and having me back in the water in just a couple of days. It was fascinating watching him call people and say, "You remember when I did this for you? Now I want you to do this for me. And this is my friend, and I want him to be your friend. Don't want you to treat him like a tourist. I want you to treat him like a friend. And I want you to give him the best deal you can." Had me going, fishing, back in the water in just a few days. Why was that? It's just the favor of God. I didn't ask him to do that. He just did it. Most of you know Nancy Doss Hawkinson. Now, Nancy lives now in Minnesota. But she was having a baby. And then she got a bad report. And the bad report was that there was some abnormalities in her digestive system, in her intestines, and they had all of these bad reports coming out. And so anyway, I was involved intricately in the baby coming. I was with them when the baby was born. Well, a couple of months later, the baby needed some surgery to readjust some of those things. And as they were going to go in there, Nancy called and asked me if I could fly out to San Antonio where the surgery was going to take place and be with them while the surgery was going on. And I said, sure. So I got a buddy pass from my sister-in-law. And most of you know what buddy passes are. But anyway, when someone works at an airlines for many, many years, they can get buddy passes and fly nearly free. Again, the favor of God. But anyway, I flew out to San Antonio, but didn't know that on my return day trip was one of the highest flying times in the year. I mean, it was one of those vacation times where everybody's flying, you know, one of those holidays. Well, the baby, the surgery went well, everything was good, so I went back to the airport to board my plane. It was Saturday. I was going to board the plane, get back, preach the next Sunday. Well, when I got back to the airport, I found out that they had overbooked the flight for one thing, and me and about 50 others got bumped. Now, bump means you don't fly. Bump means you got to wait. Now, what was bad is they were telling me that it would probably be, with that buddy pass, it would probably be for me, probably after the holiday weekend was over, before I could probably fly out. I said, well, that's not good. I'm supposed to be at church. I'm supposed to preach tomorrow. So, next flight comes in, you know, and so we all go to that gate, and me and all these other people, plus the people that are already supposed to be loading, we're sitting there, and I'm watching the people load the plane, you know, just thinking, Father, just do me a favor. I really want to get home. I really want to be with your people. I really want to share tomorrow. I really want to teach. Do me a favor. Help me get on this plane. I'm watching the people get on the plane, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, they... Everybody's on. The line stops, and they haven't called me, and the plane's full. But here comes the stewardess out, and she walks over to the counter. And then they call my name. Mr. Delbert Young, would you please come to the counter? So I walk up to the counter, and they say, Mr. Young, we had a cancellation. It's in first class, and you'll have to leave right now, but will that be okay with you? Let me think a minute. 10 minutes, I'm on that plane, first class. Flying.com. I'm just trying to share with you some things is that when you're really seeking the Lord and you're really wanting to develop a relationship with Him and you're doing favors for Him, then you can expect the favor of God. You really don't mind calling on Him to do you favors and expecting Him to really do something for you in the favor area. So the favor of God and man doesn't just happen. The favor of God and man is found. You find the favor of God. That's what the favor of God is about. You find it by doing and working with God and doing the things that God needs to be done. So anyway, I want to read you some scriptures because there are some things that I want to share with you that we do as Christ followers to ensure that we have the favor of God. I want to share with you five things. There's many, many more, but these five things, if you've just got time to talk about them, and I think they're interesting, and I think that they'll be interesting for you to look at and to listen to as well. So write these down. If you want the favor of God, and it's good to be alive and have the favor of God, it's good to be alive and go through life with a royal straight flush. You know, it's good to be alive. So let's talk about these five things. First of all, there's the offering. Offering is in Genesis chapter 4. And verse 4, that's the one I want up next, please. Genesis 4:4 talks here about Abel. And what it says, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Now the King James Version right there says respect. God respects you when you do offerings correctly. Same thought, favor and respect. And then verse 5 says, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Now what I want us to see here is that the point that the Lord, I think, is making here with this particular verse is that He knows if we're giving good offerings or not. Are we really giving good offerings like Abel or tipping like Cain? It was fascinating to me as I began thinking about this. A lot of us will leave here today and we'll go to a restaurant and we'll eat. We have no problem at all of giving the waiter or waitress 10, 15, sometimes 20% gratuity. We know we're supposed to do that. Gratuity. We're grateful for their service to us. We're grateful because they served us well. We don't even dawn on us. If it was good service, we'll do it. Just don't even think about it. But yet we have such a difficult time being grateful to our Lord God. We have a difficult time doing 10% for Him. You know, and God knows. And He knows. He's looking at the offering. He was favored on Abel's offering, but upon Cain's offering, there wasn't any favor. How are you with your offerings? See, if we really want the favor of God, and another thought on this before I leave this one, is that this is the first use of a thought of favor, God's favor on something in the Bible. Now, I'm a student of the Bible, and so first use becomes extremely important to me, because first use is the gene. It's like the DNA. It runs through the rest of the Bible. If it's in Genesis, it's going to run all the way through the book of Revelation. And so when you find the first use, you find the DNA of that use, and you'll find it in every thought. So the very first use of favor of God deals with how He receives offerings. How are you there? See, we need to think about that. Are we walking in that area of our life? If we want the favor of God and we really want to go through life with a royal straight flush, that's one thing that we really need to look into. And then the second one I want to talk about, the second one is spending time with God. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 3, here it's talking about Abraham. And it says, Abraham said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Spending time with the Lord brings His favor. Now let me tell you the context of what was happening here. Abraham was sitting out in front of his tent, and the Lord God and two angels were passing by. And so what Abraham did is he took off running. He took off running after the Lord God. And he got him and he says, Lord, if I found favor, would you come and spend time with me? Would you come and let me fix you a supper? And if you know the story, what Abraham did for God was fix him a great steak supper for God and His angels. Now, I'm an angel, by the way, so if you really want to fix me a steak supper, that would be great. But that's what it is. But all I want us to see here is that Abraham pursued God. See, God was just passing by. He wasn't going to stop. He was going to go on to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where he's heading. But Abraham went and caught up with God and says, "Hey, listen, if I have found favor, let's spend some time together." Abraham took him, fed him, fed the Lord God. Oh, isn't that a great thought right there? Feed the Lord. Did favors for the Lord. He fed the Lord and he did a favor for the Lord. And it was in this time that God said to Abraham, "Can I keep a secret from Abraham?" See, when you're spending time with the Lord reveals secrets to you. When you're spending time with the Lord, He opens things up that's about to happen. And what He was about to go do was check out Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know what happened. And it was Abraham that He shared that with, because Abraham had found a favor. But what was most interesting in that section is that it was at this time where Abraham was spending time with the Lord God that He told Abraham, He says, "This time next year, Sarah's going to have a baby." See, this was Abraham's heart's desire. All of his life, the guy's 100 years old, all of his life, he'd been wanting this baby from Sarah, Isaac. And it was at this time that the promise really came. This time, next year, Sarah is going to have a baby. What I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to share with you, is when you spend time with God, He'll reveal secrets to you. He'll tell you things that your kid's doing that they don't even know you know about. He'll reveal secrets to you. He'll let you in on some good tips about stuff. He'll reveal secrets to you. But also, oh my goodness, what is it that you really want from the Lord? What is it that you really desire? What is the promise? You see, it comes through His favor and by spending time with Him. Number one, what you really need to do is check your offerings. Number two, what you need to do is spend some time with God. Number three, learn His ways. Learn the ways of God. This is Moses. Moses had found favor with God. And here's what it says in Exodus 33:13. "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways." Look at this. "So I may know you and continue to find favor," or favors, "with you." Moses says, you know, if you're pleased with me, if I have really done right to you, if I've done favors for you, then show me your ways so that I can continue to receive favors from you. It's important that you read the Word of God. It's important that you pray. It's important that you get around people that know God. Now, we have what we have here. It's called life groups. And these are meetings on Friday nights or Sunday nights. But there's several life groups that function out of this church. And what we do in these life groups is we learn His ways. We talk about God. We share stories about God and His goodness. And as you learn His ways, then He continues to show you favor or do favors for you. If you're not in a life group, I really encourage you to. You need relationships with people, and you need relationships with God, and you need to learn His ways. So that's another one that the Bible talks about that was very important in developing the favor of God in our life and walking around life with that royal straight flush. The next one, number four, blessing people. Blessing people. The Bible talks a lot about this, of course, but this one's about Ruth. I want to talk about Ruth here just a second. And the Bible says in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10, "At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?' Boaz replied, 'I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before.'" Ruth had laid down her life to minister to her mother-in-law named Naomi. And it was in this that she found favor through Boaz, by Boaz, the favor of Boaz. Boaz was a very well-off individual, a very rich person that lived in the city. And so as Ruth came with Naomi back home, then she met Boaz, and Boaz found favor, gave Ruth favor. Ruth found favor with Boaz. And what's happening here is Ruth's life changed beyond her wildest expectations. She got a husband, but not just a husband. She got a wealthy husband. Not only did she get a husband and a wealthy husband, but she had children. And she became so blessed. Her life was so changed because she found favor by ministering and blessing people. Listen, I don't know, but you know we're all called to be lights and salt in the earth. And as we minister to people and as we touch lives of people and as we lay down our lives and not so much what we want to do sometimes to do something for someone else, God looks at that and shows us favors. If we do favors for people, God will do favors for us. Amen? So that's another one. Let me give you another one. Number five is appearance. Appearance. Esther, chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "The girl pleased him," this would be the king, "and won his favor. Immediately he provided her with her beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 maids selected from the king's palace and moved her and her maids into the best place in the harem." Now this is a little bit different one. This was interesting to me. Every once in a while you just kind of stumble across the truth. And this is one of those things you just kind of stumbled across. Esther got favor because she cared how she presented herself. Esther won favor because she cared how she dressed. She cared how she spoke. She wanted to speak well. She wanted to walk well. Esther found favor because of how she presented herself. You and I are ambassadors of Christ. The way people understand church, the way people understand LifeGate, the way people understand the kingdom is by how we present ourselves. And we need to present ourselves the very, very best that we can. Now, I asked Galen if I could use this example. Just about everybody knows Galen. She's back there doing these flip things for you. She's sticking these things up for you. Most everybody knows Galen. Galen's been here a long, long time, in many, many years, and I have this real good relationship with her. But anyway, Galen has been overweight, and she knows it, and everybody else knows it. She tells me she's been overweight all of her life, but she knows it. But this past year and a half or 2 years, she has really done something that's provoked all of us. If you know her, she has become so diligent of going to the gym. I mean, it's a passion with her. She goes to the gym regularly. I wanted to say religiously, but that's not a good term. She just goes to the gym all the time. And she has lost, hear me, 72 pounds. Yeah. Right. Why? Why? Well, she wasn't feeling as good as she could. She wanted to feel better, but she was concerned about her appearance and how she presented herself. Now, I knew this, and she was going back to school, and she's kind of getting this whole new glow about her, you know? And so I called her on the phone, and I said, "Galen, can I use this in this message that I'm doing?" She says, "Well, sure you can." And I says, "Well, let me ask you this. Have you noticed any special favor that you've gotten from people since you have been doing this, since you've dropped all this weight?" And she thought just a second. She says, "Well, yeah, of course I have." She says, "Of course I feel better about myself." But she says, "People treat me differently." People, isn't that the favors of God? People treat you differently? In other words, you know, they're not treating her like she's fat. You know, they're treating her sweet, they're treating her nice, you know? And so there's a whole different way of how people are treating her. But she says, "You know what?" She says, I think differently about myself. I have more self-confidence about myself. But she says, "You know, I've always gone to the gym and I've always been in others' classes, but I always wanted to kind of teach one myself." Now, Heather, the owner of the gym, has come to Galen and asked Galen if she would teach a class for the 30-plus pounds, if she would teach the class for that. And that's kind of a heart's desire for her. And so she's getting favor of God and favor of people. You see, good things happen to us when we really seek the Lord, when we really do favors for the Lord, and we really care about how we appear and how we look as people talk to us and we present ourselves as kingdom ambassadors. Now, let me show you what happened with Esther. Esther found favor. Good things happen to you when you care about how you present yourself. And here's what it says in Esther chapter 2 and verse 17. "Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the others. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. See, good things happen when you take these things serious and you walk in the favor of God. It's good to be alive and have God's favor. I hope you got it. There's a lot more. But see, these are some necessary things that I think you need to think about. You need to know that your offering is important and that spending time with God is important if you want to have His favor. You need to know that learning His ways is important and that blessing people is important if you want to walk in His favor. You need to know that how you present, how you talk, how you walk, how you present yourself as kingdom ambassadors is important. It's important. It's important. It's important if you want to walk with the favor of God on your life, walk around life with a royal straight flesh. So, I want to close with this one last thought. We all are familiar with Mary, the mother of Jesus. But she had a special favor. She was highly favored. Let me read you this verse from Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. It says, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.'" Now, I want that. I think you want that. Mary had favor, but she was highly favored. She had a relationship with God. She had developed a relationship with God. Obviously, she had found favor. She had pursued the Lord. She had developed favor. She had cultivated her favor. She had grew in her favor. But now she was highly favored. You know, life was going pretty good for Mary. She was about to get married to Joseph, and she was excited about getting married. She was excited about life. Life was going along pretty good for her. But yet she had this unique connection with God. Why? What brought that unique connection? What brought that high favor? What is it that made it be a highly favored? Mary would birth the Christ into the earth. Mary would birth Jesus into the earth. She would bring the Son of God not only into a region, but into a planet. Isn't that, though, what each of us are supposed to do? Are we not each to carry the Christ in the womb of our spirit and birth the Christ into our region, into our families, into our lives, into the lives of every people, every person that we can? Isn't that what we're supposed to be? Aren't we supposed to be ambassadors of Christ that carry Christ into this whole region? Think about that. Think about that. Isn't that what LifeGate is really supposed to be? Isn't that what each one of us are supposed to be? We are supposed to give birth into this region. Here's what I want to see. I want to see Christ birthed into our region in a way that's been unprecedented. I want to see Christ birthed in this whole Northwest Georgia corner in a way that's never before happened. And I believe we can do it. I want us to be highly favored. Not just favored so that we can get the favors of God, but so that we can birth something into this planet, into this region, that will bring us high favor of God. Amen? Now listen, how many of you want to walk the rest of your life with a royal straight flush? You want to walk in the favor of God the rest of your days. Amen? Well, that's how you're going to start doing it. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Amen. I want to pray with you now. Never want to end a service without seeing if someone needs to make Jesus their Lord and Savior so that you can walk in this favor that we're talking about. That's the first step. Seek God, find Him. The way you start doing that is just by praying a prayer and asking Him to be your Lord and be your Savior. Or maybe you've gotten away from God. Maybe you've done what is called backslide. Just got away from God. It's not bad. Most of us have done it at one time or the other. But He wants you back. He wants you serving Him and ministering to people and blessing His kingdom and doing favors for Him so that He can do favors for you. So what we always do is we pray. We all pray together. I ask everybody in the room to pray the prayer. It's just called the sinner's prayer. It's just asking the Lord to come into your heart and into your life and be your Lord and your Savior. And then it's up to you. You start seeking after Him. You start pursuing Him. And then the favor of God just starts happening on your life. Seek Him, He says. If you find me, He says, you find life. Amen. So would you just pray this after me? Every person in here, if you'll just pray this. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I repent of my sins. And I want to live the rest of my life with your favor. Forgive me, I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you did that, something happened. If you did that and you meant it, then something happened inside of you. And your spirit is changed. And now you can begin to see the kingdom. And if you're born again of the Spirit and water, you can enter the kingdom and really experience life in its abundance. Now, another thing that we always like to do is pray for people. Maybe you're sick in your body. And I know some of you have already told me that you're sick and you need prayer. The Bible says that we can lay hands. We can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So are you sick? Something wrong in your body? Then that's how you're going to experience the favor of God. Get people to pray for you. Maybe others of you are having financial difficulties. The Bible says that if you agree as touching anything, I'll do you a favor. I'll be right there with you. I'll bless you. Maybe you're having marital problems or children problems or parent problems. God will still help you. Maybe it's work. No matter what it is, the Bible gives you the solution. And it starts with prayer. Starts with finding God. If you find Him, He'll do you favors. So whatever your need may be, just want you to come down. Me, the elders, and others will be praying for you. So just be coming right now. This is what it's all about. Just be coming. Amen.